prepare to broadcast worldwide.
You've discovered TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earle and David Spada.
Okay, 22 past the hour, David. That was a nice chat too with Jay Hilgenberg. Get a little fired up on the Chicago Bears. And, of course, this section of the show is brought to you by Rockford Charitable Games. And I just want to mention where their events are this week, David. Today they're at Skokie Valley. I can't even pronounce this in Skokie here. That's close by around where we're at here. The Snagaroo restaurant. I don't know. I screwed that one up. But anyway, on Thursday, they're at the Atlantis Banquets in Arlington Heights. Then on Saturday at the American Legion Post there in Rockford. And, of course, back on Tuesday, they're at the Diplomat West Banquets there in Elmhurst, Illinois.
I can only pronounce Italian names.
Unbelievable, man. That's a tongue twister for me. But, hey, we got a guy on the line here that we played in the same conference. He was a Pac 8 or Pac 10 back then. I was there with the Pac 8. But we got Tony Pacelli, former offensive tackle for the USC Trojans. And of course, one of the great, left tackles for the Jacksonville Jaguars. How you doing, Tony?
I'm good. How you guys doing today?
Hey, we're just hanging in there. I hope you're down south where it's warm.
It's not warm here. I am down south in Jacksonville, but it's barely 40 degrees, and it feels like about 30 with the wind.
Oh, gee whiz. I really feel sorry for you. Would you like our 0 degree wind chills here?
See, you guys choose to live in the cold. I choose to live in the warm. That's different, and I'm not getting what I want today.
Yeah, hey, I don't blame you, man. Hey, thanks for coming on. You do a great job now. You're with Westwood One Broadcasting?
Yes.
Great. And I enjoyed listening to you when you were with Fox Sports there for a while, right?
Yep, a couple years with Fox, and enjoy. It's a lot of fun to do. I get to talk about something I love talking about and love to do, and that's football.
Fantastic. You're a young guy, so you're about 37 years old. I'm kind of over the hill now. I'm going on the double nickel here in a couple of months here, 55. But, yeah, I was a Washington Husky, and I played against John McKay, and, of course, John Robinson his last year. My last season, it was 1976, but you had a hell of a career coming out of USC. Man, you were a monster, if I remember.
Well, I appreciate it. I loved going to USC, loved playing football there. We weren't as good as I'd like to be as a team back then, but it was a great university with a ton of tradition, as you know. And played some really good, a lot of good footballs played in the Pac-10. Probably nationally doesn't get the credit it deserves because most people are in bed when those games kick off.
When those games come on, right.
Yeah, but a lot of really good football out there, and I love playing there.
I see 6'7", 322 is your playing weight. How's the weight now?
It depends.
Depends after lunch or after or before lunch.
Exactly. Well, I'm on a big New Year's resolution to lose some weight. I'm probably right around 315, 320, but the problem is back then it was a lot more muscle than fat. Now it's all fat and very little muscle, and that's not a good combination. I've gone the wrong way in body composition, so hopefully I can shed a few pounds and feel a little bit better about myself.
You're Italian. You eat pasta. What do you expect?
It's all right. Hey, listen, I've never seen a meal that I didn't like. That's my biggest problem.
That's my Italian partner over there. Anyway, you come out as a second overall pick in 1995. That is correct, right? 95?
Yep.
Was your rookie year. Second pick overall. The Jacksonville Jaguars were pretty much, when was their first year in the league?
95, so that was the first year.
First year.
First draft pick of the team, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of something that was starting brand new, and we had a lot of success early.
You did.
And it was a good time.
You made the championship game your second year against Carolina.
Actually, Carolina was in it too there in the NFC. We played New England in the AFC championship game.
Gotcha. And, of course, you had a former Husky as your quarterback, Brunell.
Yeah, old Brunell. So, yeah, he's the old Washington guy, and heck, he's still playing. You know, he's almost near 40, but he's still out there playing for the Saints. But he, had a fellow Pac-10 guy here in Jacksonville, all the way on the other side of the on the East Coast. But he was a great quarterback, and we had a lot of success together.
Well, you know, Mark is doing the right thing. You know, he did his time. You know, he played well, did his time. Now he's got the greatest job ever in sports. That's backup quarterback.
Yeah, I was trying to find some team that would pay me a bunch of money to be the backup offensive lineman and just sit there and hold a clipboard and never have to go in.
Why don't you play for the Bears?
There's no takers.
The Bears need some linemen. You see the guys, the way they played, they sure they paid Orlando Pace to do nothing.
I'd rather see, but actually Orlando's on the field playing now. He had to at least get out there. I don't even want to have to do that.
There you go. You got 7 solid years in, 8 that looks like you you went on to play well, 1 year with the Houston Texans. What, you know, most tackles can go a good 12, 15 years. Was it injury issues that kind of cut your career short?
Yeah, what happened is I hurt my shoulder, both shoulders, but my left one real bad and developed some really severe arthritis in the joint and tore the labrum about 80% off the bone and tried to repair it, tried to come back, but my shoulder just never got the strength back. And playing offensive line, if you can't punch, it's hard to play the game very well. And it just made it impossible for me to do my job and play. And so I had to retire much earlier than I wanted to.
You know, you made the big time when McDonald's named a burger after you. I'm reading.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Now I just eat them.
Yeah, you just eat them. Yeah, it looks like you. Are you still in the restaurant business there with Mark and a couple of your teammates?
No, no longer. I just like eating. I figure I'll get out of the ownership side and just eat as much as I possibly can.
Hey, Tony, let's talk some NFL football here, and of course with the playoffs. Have you ever seen that on the last game of the year, last weekend of the year, that 3 of the games are going to repeat themselves? That was really weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, you usually get maybe one that happens, and you get, you know, a repeat just outfalls. They have 3, and some of them didn't even, you know, there wasn't, you know, you look at the Green Bay, Arizona, the game didn't mean anything for Arizona, so you end up getting a real lopsided game. Kurt Warner didn't play, and now you got to play again. You wonder about the psyche of both teams going back into the game, and Arizona, I mean, Green Bay flying all the way back to Phoenix. So, you know, it's but the way I always looked at it playing, you know, as long as you can get into the tournament, you know, that's all that matters. I don't care who you play. Just get in and find out what happens.
Anything can happen. Now, are you scheduled to broadcast any? Which game are you going to be at?
Yeah, I'll be at the Green Bay, Arizona game the first week.
And at least it's warm there.
Yeah, and then up in Indianapolis week 2.
Tony, okay, did you call the Northwestern game on New Year's Day?
No, I was actually up here in Jacksonville at the Gator Bowl, so I was not at that. I was following it because the Gator Bowl was going on, and what a crazy talk about. Nothing more you hate as a player when the game comes down to a field goal kicker and the poor guy can't make them and ends up getting hurt, and you hate that you play your tail off that hard the whole game, and just to come down to a couple special teams plays and to lose a game like that for Northwestern had to be real disheartening.
I'll tell you what, that Pat Fitzgerald could flat out coach. He took a team that was overmatched and kept them in there till the end.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at Northwestern, really outplayed them, you know, and if they had a bunch of turnovers and ended up losing because of all the turnovers, but, you know, a lot of yards, and they moved the ball up and down the field and just couldn't, couldn't finish it by getting the victory. But Pat Fitzgerald, the young guy, heck, he's younger than
he's
I am.
About your age, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing a great job in Division I football.
By far the best game on New Year's Day, no question about it. Hey, let's talk a little psyche here about take some of these players to Philadelphia. Now, if you were an offensive tackle starting for the Philadelphia Eagles, you go into Dallas, you get your ass kicked. Now you got to come right back in there. What would be going through your mind?
Well, you just got to look at film and learn from it, and you realize you just got embarrassed up there on, you know, and now you get it, but you can fix it all in one, you know, in 60 minutes. And so you got to look at what you did and try to, you know, see if you can take up any, you know, pick up any tendencies or anything else from the Cowboys rush, and then just make a decision that you're going to play better and go out there and make it a fight, make it physical, and get after them and realize, you know, usually you don't get a chance of redemption 1 week later against a guy that just whipped you. So, you know, you'd almost be a little bit thankful that you get a chance to go out and prove that wasn't the norm and that you're going to do a better job. So I expect Philadelphia to come out and play much better and with a little bit of a chip on the shoulder.
Now, you'll be doing the Arizona-Green Bay game. I see the early line is -1 Arizona. That's got to be a reflection from the game that that Green Bay kicked their butt. And, of course, usually home field's worth 3 points. So technically they're saying that Green Bay's a two-point advantage or two-point underdog on a neutral field.
Yeah, I mean, I think Green Bay is probably one of the best teams in the NFL right now. They were 7-1 in the last 8 games. The only loss was against Pittsburgh in that great game that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger threw a career, you know, what a pass at the end of the game, and, you know, Wallace kind of tiptoeing in the end zone to beat him. Other than that, Green Bay really, you know, has
outplayed
been dominant.
Yeah,
outplayed him, has been dominant down the stretch. So, you know, it looks like they should be the favorite, and probably an uphill battle for Arizona, but right when you say that, I mean, I remember last year going into the playoffs, I thought Arizona, you know, was going to be, you know, out early and probably, you know, was probably the worst team in the playoffs of either conference. And mm-hmm. all they do is end up going to the Super Bowl and almost beating Pittsburgh. So you never know. The good, you know, you look at Arizona, you got a Hall of Fame quarterback in Kurt Warner. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen when you have that guy and some good players around him. So I expect a pretty, I expect a high scoring shootout. Because Green Bay has some pretty impressive weapons on their side with Aaron Rodgers as well.
Tony, what do you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars? You think they're going to stay in Jacksonville, or you think they're going to end up moving somewhere else?
I think they end up staying here. I think a lot of it is a perception issue. I think, that, you know, obviously this year they had a tough year selling tickets and coming off an awful year the year before where they really underperformed and had, you know, a bunch of, you know, frankly, pretty not very good guys on the team. Not only weren't they good players, not good guys. And with the economy, it was kind of the perfect storm. They lost a lot of season tickets. But if you look at the history of the, you know, the year before, I think they were 19th in tickets distributed, in the NFL. So there was one year they did have a bad year. The stadium's awful big for the market size, but I think long term, this is a good market. I think it's a growing market. The Southeast is growing. And so I think they end up making it here. We have an owner in Wayne Weaver who, despite all the different national reports, which I'd love to know where these sources are coming from, because for the last 3 years they've been saying he's going to sell the team. And every year he comes out, every time he says, comes out and adamantly, like he did Monday of this week after Jay Glazer's report, that I am not selling the team. And, you know, I don't know what else he can do or the team can do here to say that they're not going anywhere. And that he's, you know, committed to Jacksonville for the long run.
Well, I tell you what, I think Jacksonville, like you said, is a great market. I like Jack Del Rio. I played against Jack, a tough, head-nosed type of individual. And I love that Gator Bowl down there, man. I tell you, Jacksonville, you know, I had an opportunity when I left the Bears, Tony. I played a couple years in the USFL with the Birmingham Stallions. And, of course, you had the Jacksonville Bulls.
Yeah, the Jacksonville Bulls.
Yeah, yeah, they were exciting. They put a lot of fans in those seats, man. You know, down south down there, you know, it's just, it's a whole different culture when it comes to football. And they had good crowds, good sellouts. Of course, that's at Birmingham, we averaged over 50,000 on home games, so we had a pretty successful franchise there. But boy, I love that field. That was a nice field.
Yeah, it's a great city, and you know, the economy. I mean, Florida is one of the three hardest states in during this economy. You know, Jacksonville's big real estate community and big tourism and everything else.
Right.
Look at it. It's just, I mean, they got hit pretty hard. And a lot of blue collar workers here in Jacksonville, and it. You know, based on what they did the year before and how bad they were in the community, even some people were pretty upset. But I think, you know, they sold out the last game against Indianapolis, and you know, there's a good young team here with a lot of good young players, and I think it's going in the right direction.
They're cool. Talking about them drafting Tim Tebow and basically building a franchise around him. What do you think about that?
You know, I think what you have to do with Tim, I think if he's the value on the board when you draft, then you take him. I don't think you reach for a guy just because you think he might sell tickets for a year or two. But if you think he's the guy that, you know, you can build a franchise around, you do it. You know, the one thing with Tim, you know, watching him, and I know his family a little bit, there's probably, you know, he's a great leader. He has all the intangibles you want at that position. He's going to work harder than anybody. And he's a smart kid. I think just the thing you got to look at that if you watch him, you worry about a little bit, is that long throwing motion, you know, and can he get rid of the ball quick enough in the NFL?
Yeah, you're right.
To be effective. And I don't, you know, if you can't, I don't care how good a leader you are or anything else, you know, it's tough to win. And so that's what, you know, I trust Gene Smith, the new GM here. He's been here for a year now, and his staff, you know, I think they'll do a great job. Terry McDonough heads up their college scouting. I think that group, those guys work as hard as anybody in the league, and they proved it with a great draft this year. I think they'll get it right. Tim Tebow's the guy I think would be a great addition here because they're, you know, we live in Gator country, a lot of Gator fans here, and they love Tim Tebow, and I think would be a great shot in the arm for the franchise.
I think wherever Tim goes, he's going to be one hell of a football player. I mean, there's a lot of controversy with, you know, can he play quarterback in the NFL? He's just a damn good football player, you know?
Yeah, he's a good, yeah, he just works hard. He wins. You know, I think you got to have winners on your team. So I don't think you can go wrong with it being on your team.
No.
I just think it's always dangerous. You know, if you have him as a second-round grade and draft him in the second round, don't, if you have a second or third-round grade on him, don't pick him in the first because the bottom line is, you know, how you win in this league is a lot of good players. And you got to have, I mean, that's, you know, you can, good coaching is important. You have to have the right leadership at top. But bottom line is, you know, you can drop all the X's and O's you want, but it's about having the right guys, the right Joes. And those
that's
positions
right.
to make plays.
Not,
play.
Yeah, not like the Chicago Bears here, keeping Lovie Smith around, keeping the GM. What a train wreck we had here in Chicago yesterday.
Unbelievable. You know, it's like Kelly, Coach Kelly at Notre Dame now. Right kind of guys. RGKs, baby. Hey, real quick, I got about 30 seconds, Tony. I'm going to get your professional opinion. Who do you like, Cincinnati or the Jets?
I think Cincinnati.
Okay.
I think Cincinnati, you know, I think they win that game. You know, it's at home. It's going to be loud.
Okay.
You're just saying that because Carson Palmer's a quarterback, a USC guy.
But so is Mark Sanchez on the other side. So it's
that's true. Makes sense.
There.
Okay, real quick.
You got me there.
All right.
The one thing is,
yeah.
Rookie quarterbacks struggle in the playoffs.
There you go. Dallas, Philadelphia. Who do you like?
I like Philly. Andy Reid's never lost in the first round.
Oh, well, okay. Baltimore, New England.
New England. I'll go with Tom Brady and Belichick any day over.
I think so.
Harbaugh.
And of course, do you like Green Bay over Arizona or Arizona over Green Bay?
I like Green Bay. I think they're going to go deep. I think Aaron Rodgers. I think the Green Bay Packers made the right decision in keeping Aaron Rodgers over Brett Favre. I think he'll be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in the coming years.
Who's your Super Bowl?
Oh gosh, I was so wrong at the early, but I think right now, if I had to go to the Super Bowl, I'll go with either Philly or Green Bay and against the San Diego Chargers. I think the Chargers are the best team in football.
Even with North Turner as their coach?
that's the one X factor, but I think Philip Rivers can overcome that.
Hey, not a problem. Hey, Tony, really appreciate you coming on, buddy. Hope to have you, you know, in the season as we get, you know, the Barely Legal Show. We've been around over a year now. We have some fun. We have some great guests. And, of course, there's guys like you that make our show the
way
it is.
And we got Todd Marinovich coming out next, another USC Trojan.
There you go. All right.
All right.
Okay,
I'll
thanks. Thanks, Tony. I sure will. This is the Barely Legal Show, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. Let the revolution begin. Hi, Robin Earl here. As part of the Barely Legal family, you have heard me speak many times about WOW Mobile and how it is changing people's lives. Like any great championship team, Liberty International is dedicated to fulfill the promises and dreams we set out to achieve. Well, let me tell you something. The beta testing is over and done, folks. As of December 4, 2009, Liberty has now successfully launched a feat that no other cell phone company in the world has ever done. What makes WOW Mobile different? Well, listen and pay attention. By joining Liberty's WOW phone service, you now have access to the Unlimited Everything plan. Unlimited calling anywhere in the U.S. and Puerto Rico. Unlimited internet. Unlimited text. Unlimited emails. Unlimited data transfer. You name it, it's unlimited. The cost per month, only $89.95, and that's with all taxes included. Take a detailed look at your cell phone bill. You are paying an additional 20 to 25% in taxes. Now consider this. Liberty's G1 and G2 MyTouch phones can tether to your laptop. Wow, a mobile phone that is a Wi-Fi hotspot. How much are you paying for your air cards? $50, $60, $70 extra dollars a month? With WOW Mobile, you can trash that air card. And, of course, you can keep your current cell phone number. And there are no credit checks or contracts to sign. But I haven't mentioned the best part yet. When you sign on to Liberty's WOW Mobile Cellular and tell three friends about this wonderful service and they sign on, your monthly cost of $89.95 is now absolutely free. Can you imagine no more cell phone bill? How much will you save in a year? And if you're like me and build a Liberty team through your referrals, a very substantial check arrives in the mailbox each and every week like clockwork. Want to know more? Call me, Robin Earl. My WOW number is 971-227-4130. Again, 971-227-4130. 877-227-4130 or visit my website, wowmobile.com. Can't wait to hear from you.